So before we get started, just a few reminders for those who are listening to this later as well. We have a WhatsApp group that we started. And Jake, if you could put the WhatsApp group out or maybe send it out another email or however you feel to get that ability to join the WhatsApp group, it'd be very good to join because I may talk too long and we may not get the Q&A. Or if we get Q&A, you might think something later. It'd be good for the chevra to get together because, as we're going to see in the first Torah, a lot of this is not about bashing each other over the head, you know, or some rabbi bashing over his students over the head about how bad they are and how much of a rasha. We're going to get into the sugya a little bit about it, but it's about coming up with strategies and dealing with it and figuring it out. And what works for Reuven doesn't work for Shimon, and what works for Shimon doesn't work for Levi. So we found that having a chat where we can get information and get direction would be super helpful. And our friend Jake is going to make sure that's spread to the right people. And that will be strictly just to talk about this topic. Obviously, feel free not to join it. But it would be, I think, very, very beneficial if the Olam could join. Okay, so that's number one. Also, there's the new Zoom link. Please make sure that you're on the new Zoom link. Make sure people know about the new Zoom link. And finally, this is very important. I'm probably going to start a lot of these little talks together with the same introduction. But if you or someone you know is dealing with this issue of Shmir Sabris or Pagama Bris, but it's an addiction, we're dealing with a whole different category. It's a whole different category, and I highly, highly recommend and ask that you see a therapist, someone professional. After some research, I personally believe that someone should be looking for a therapist that is proficient in CBT. That's cognitive behavioral therapy. Of this lot of personal reasons why I think that's the right way to go. But if you can't find one, find somebody that is versed in addiction specifically. And it's important if that's something that you feel that you're dealing with as addiction, it's a whole different thing. Also, before I start, I just wanted to add something. This year is going to be Leila Nishmas, my father, Olav Hashalom, Yitzchak Kadosh Ben Hanan. That's my father, Yitzchak Kadosh Ben Hanan. May his neshama have an aliyah. May the Torah we learn tonight give his neshama an aliyah. Okay, so we did the introduction yesterday. It was kind of like a letter, love letter to his students. Now we're jumping into the first essay, if you will, of this. And by the way, you can actually keep that copy. That's yours to keep. But you can leave it. It's up to you. But that's yours to keep. Anyone joins in person will be getting a copy for them to keep. So we're going to start with Aleph, the first essay that's on page Zion in the Sefer. Oh, sorry, one more thing. If anyone is interested, they also have the Sefer in English. It's really incredible. It is. I thought it might be some kind of watered down version. They did not water it down, as far as I could tell. I didn't read the whole thing, but they did not water it down. It's literally the English translation of everything in here, in the Hebrew. So if you want to chaz it on your own, if you're more comfortable with it, I really recommend it. It's made by Israel Bookshop, and I think they translated a lot. I think I would maybe the whole thing, like at all his farm. Like he has all the Svarim on the Parshias and all that. I think they translated all of it. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they did. So it's just good to have and just to know that it's out there if anyone's interested. Okay, so Aleph, we're going to jump into the first essay. The first essay is titled, HaKedusha Yisoid HaYisoidis. Kedusha is the Yisoid HaYisoidis, the foundation of foundations, the secret of secrets. It's so deep, it's holy, it's the deepest of the deep, it's the most precious of the precious. You know I'm going with this. But this is the foundation of everything. And we're going to go, this essay is broken up into different parts. Don't believe we'll be able to finish the entire thing. We're going to do Aleph, maybe a little bit of Beis, and then we'll do some Q&A with the Chevra if they would like. Okay. Hazman grama yimei hashevivim ledaber l'schazek binyonei chataim. So this is the time, as we talked yesterday, this is the time that is set aside. It's a fortune time. I think that's the right word. I don't know if that's the right word.
Fortuitous
time, or set aside, grama. It's like established. All right, for Yimei Shevim to talk about and strengthen ourselves. Binyanei Hachatayim, in these inyanim, in these topics of these sins, Hayiduim Ubuntu Udemy, and this is actually very important, and I'm going to probably do a little explainer on this one. The chataim, the sins that we know, and the sins, and also the sins that we don't know. So what does that mean, the sins that we don't know? I was talking about begabris, we're talking about shmir sabris. We're talking about shmir sinayim. Shmir sinayim is anything that is a visual, that causes, anything visual that causes lust and attraction. Begam habris, or shmir sabris rather, when it becomes a physical act. Right. So, and we're talking about whatever level, like it could be the smallest little visual thing that you saw all the way to you went out and you looked at, not you, but someone went out and looked at something very, very inappropriate. Right. It's all falls under the same category. But I would say, and this is very important, we know what's bad. Right. But he's saying here, not just the sins that we know are bad, hachatam, how you doing, but also ability you do them, also the ones that we don't know about. And I don't mean to get crude or crass over here, but there are obviously layers to the depth of desire and lust, not just to what a person is capable of doing, but also to what's available out there in the world. And especially in the frum world, if you're a frum yid, it is not difficult to say that this thing is bad, that if you go into a certain website, you're going to see a bad thing. And Baruch Hashem, like, not everybody, some people are struggling with this, but I would say the community is aware, at least, that this is an issue, and it's a prevalent issue. But then there are the things that we don't, so that's, those are things we know, right? And, you know, that could be the worst stuff, all the way down to, you know, ads, and we want to, like, block the ads, and that's why we get our phones filtered, our computers filtered. But then there's the stuff that we don't even realize. And I don't. What do you think would be an example of something that you don't realize? It's an issue of shmir sinayim or shmir sabris, but in a way that we don't even notice, we don't even realize is an issue. I was thinking, I'm trying to think to something that's appropriate that doesn't share my past too much. Maybe
not just the door.
When you're sitting on the bus or you're sitting on the train, right? Or you're on the plane. Right. The Boston train was famous, right? You know, be careful of the ads. And especially in New York City, it got a little wild. I don't know what it's like now, but when you're sitting on the bus, you know, you see the ads, you sit on the subway, you see the ads. Don't look at that. Right. But I'm not talking about that because we know about that. Right. There's enough schmoozing about that. But you sit in an airplane, you're sitting on a bus, and next to you, there's a lady sitting there. Right. Just like something to think about, like not chas v'shalom that you're doing something on purpose. But how often is your eye getting drawn? How, like, it doesn't matter what kind of lady. I'm not trying to get into specifics of what people are into or not, whatever it is. But how often is your eye drawn? And it's almost like subconscious sometimes. And that's what we're going to be talking about over here. It's like, no, you may not necessarily be faulted, right? It's complete accident, right? But at the same time, like, what's going on inside you that you keep falling? Like, even if it's not your fault, what's happening to you? What's happening in your own head when it's, you know, when this is happening? And again, I'm not talking about someone staring or leering. That's just creepy and it's weird and that's bad. It's just like, you know, our eyes get attracted by, like, you know, we're like the ostrich, you know, we're attracted by shiny objects. Right. And when I shiny objects, it's the devil we're talking about. Right. So, like, what's going on in our own heads that we don't even realize is happening in those kind of instances when it's completely innocuous and there's nothing really going wrong? And obviously, we're going to talk about the Gemara later about how what you need to be careful of. But I think I want to make it like a big focus. And to be honest, to drive the point home, we live in a culture that everything, if it can be dressed up in a lustful, desirous way on some level, they're going to do it. And I know this is going to sound creepy, like I'm a creep, but I just remember it was my daughter. It was like or something. We saw like a picture of some kind of cartoon animal of these ponies, right? Now, I know it's going to sound very weird what I'm saying, but I think it's a very important point. There was these ponies, and it was like pink ponies and purple ponies and whatever it is, like a kid's toy, a toy or a cartoon. It was like in the store. And the ponies had these eyelashes, but like overly done up eyelashes. Right. And the eyes were drawn, in this like very, again, how do I know about this? We'll talk about maybe over a few beers at a different time, right? But it was drawn in like in that almond shape, you know, way. Now we're talking about toys, nothing inappropriate, right. Nothing that's going to really elicit desire or lust in a person. But that picture, its goal is not to get a guy lustful and filled with desire. That picture is designed to train from children's age that this is normal and it's okay. And it's just empowerment, and you ought to do these kind of things. And I'm not just talking about women and men as well. Like there's certain ways that men can dress in a way that's not appropriate. And it's done on such a subtle level for children that like you could even grow up and not even notice it's happening. And then like when a Rav comes to town and or you get into a schmooze and shave with him, and there's Adam talking to everybody about, you know, how this is inappropriate and we should be careful about it. And you're like, you're just a crazy right winger. You're old fashioned. You know what you're talking about. And I think all those things fall under this category of chetaim ubil tiyudum, that we don't even know that they're chetaim because we've been indoctrinated. And again, I'm not judging. I think this is something that I'm struggling with, and we all struggle with it. We live in a culture that this is just so normal. I literally saw today an article that, again, pardon my crudeness, they did some kind of study on Netflix that over 40% of all Netflix shows, movies, whatever they got on there, over 40% has very explicit, I wouldn't say explicit, like inappropriate, but very clear LGBTQ content on it. Like just pushing it out there, like kids shows, adult shows, regular shows. Who I don't know what it is. Over 40%. It's a wild statistic. Okay. They're just throwing it in there. It's like it's normal. So that's what we got to be careful of. And then also like to continue this. So like continuing in the first paragraph and in ba'oinis the imbaratzer. So these are if you did something but on accident, where you're sitting on the train, you look at something you shouldn't, or you're surfing the internet and your tag filter didn't catch the thing and it pops up on your screen, right? So you see it. So now you need to figure out how to deal with that. Like, you know, did you linger too long? And even if you didn't, like, again, like we talked about, like, you need to ask yourself, like, why is your body getting drawn? Why are your eyes getting drawn a certain way? And again, no judgment. We're going to talk in a minute about like what we need to do, but like we're here to just come up with solutions and strategies. We're not here to like knock on people. We're just here to work together to figure this thing out. Okay. So, and then obviously the imbaratzen, if you did these chetayim baratzen. So Asher yidi inch benafshe, that we all know about this. Every single person knows about this in our heart of hearts, that this is a problem. And we all have our unique little different ways that this is a problem for us. And we need to deal with it. Who can say that they're clean from this? Who can say that they're completely clean from this? He's talking about himself, right? He's talking about himself. That even though it's very clear in the Kisvi Arizal, Shavuos Elu, these Shavuos Mesugalim are very apropos, appropriate, Latakinus Epigamim, to fix these Pigamim, the Ein and Yanim Rak Tshuva. It's not just in Yanim that are only to do tshuva to fix the aver, the segufim v'tanias, right? You know, like someone did something wrong, really, really bad, like bad, right? So then you got to go roll in snow, right? That's what they used to do, or fast, or whatever it is. Obviously, and we talked yesterday, we shouldn't do that, but that was his intro. Now we're going to get into some of the meat of this, right? But like that's really whatever you're doing to learn 5 hours, like we spoke, or like in the old days where they rolled in snow, that's to fix that one thing. But that's not the point. That's not just the point to fix the one thing. And that's the problem also with filters. Like filters are great. We should have it. I'm not saying don't have it. But the filters only fix one thing, right? Your filters just fix it. I remember listening to Moshe Weinberger talk about this. Moshe Weinberger used to say, he's like, you can't filter the world. It's impossible.
Right.
You cannot filter the world. So what do you do? And, okay, I just lost place there a second. Okay. Iker, the rapid gormi hamachlo lakar sarah mishorshim. The goal of these 3 weeks is to come up with strategies and solutions to try to figure out how to heal ourselves completely from this sickness and remove this ra at its root. That's what we got to do. That's what we got to be open about it. Because, and again, there's different mahalchim. The Nesivos Shalom mahalach is to be open about it because it's the only way you get to figure this out. Right? And it's the mandar that says, v'shav, and when you return, I will heal you. Or I will heal him. Right? Like, Hashem is ready to heal us. But we have to want to be there. And we have to want to return. Right? And ma'oid kasha hadibur binyanam helu. And these are very, very difficult inyanam to talk about. Klem chazal in erchin, and as we see, chazal says in erchin, temahani, and this is back in the Gemara, temahani im yesh bedar hazeh mishi yechiyach. Is there really anyone? Can you find anyone in this generation that can really give this rebuke? Can is there anyone who's really clean from this? Right, you know what they say. I don't mean to quote, you know, different faith, but you know, the first one to throw stones, you know, as they say, as they maybe have it, right? But like, is there really anyone that really could say they're completely clean and free from this? This is what they were dealing with this back then. Sadikim Gemurim were dealing with this and saying this. Ach oyd yosem izeh kasher shtika, but it's too difficult. It's even more difficult, rather. It's even more difficult to stay quiet. We have to talk about it. Now, unfortunately, I'm not super familiar with all the different tzaddikim that is quoted in the Sefer Shalom, but I did a little bit of research. I believe that Rav Moshe Midner was someone who would record some of these speeches of the Slaim Rebbe, who was a very special tzaddik of himself. If anyone knows more about it, I would love to learn more. So please feel free to post that on the chat or anything like that, just so we can heighten our learning. So Rav Moshe Midner said, "Al Maimer HaGemara," on the Gemara, that in Pegabach Menovel, Pegabach Bach Menovel Zeh Mishichei Levei Samedrish, that if you meet this Menovel, but Menovel obviously this Yetzirah, the specific Yetzirah, right? If you meet him, you got to drag him into the Beis Samedrish. Okay, many different ways to understand what that means. Well, right. So he has a beautiful pshat over here. I'm about to tell you, it's gonna blow your mind. Okay. Well, I don't know, blow your mind, but it's a very interesting way to look at it. So, what does this mean? So often it's taught, all you gotta do is go to the Beis Medrash and you'll deal with your problem and it's fine. It'll go away. You just learn some Baba Kama. Come on, just learn some Baba Kama, and all that, you know, all your browser history will just float into the ether. No, it's not how it works. But he says different pshat over here. This Rav Midner. Hainu, what does this mean? Heichon shedarshan bin yonai. This is the place. You got to drag him to the place where you got to. Heichon shedarshan bin yonai. Sorry. This is how you understand this. Al tachulaisa v'ala etas hasgabralam. You got to take him to the place. What do we do in a Beis Medrash? We figure out the halacha of things. We figure out the sugya. You got to drag this manoval to a place to figure out the sugya of this manoval. It doesn't mean take him to the Beis Medrash and then learn something else random in Torah and then magically it'll disappear. It's like, no, take him to the place, take him to that Beis Medrash in a chevra shaft that's discussing this inyan. Because when also like they say, right, sunshine, daylight is the best medicine. When and this disease, this pagam, this blight on our community, is something that loves to live in the dark. It's like a cockroach that lives in the dark, and that's why there's so much shame around it. Everyone's walking around this world thinking they're the only one that's doing this. Yeah. They're the only one that's involved on whatever level, right? It's not true. Everyone's struggling with this on some level. Everyone is. You see, as the tzaddik is talking about it. So
the problem is, you go to a Beis Medrash of Kol, and everyone has the chavrus, they learn their own thing.
Right.
Are you going to find someone that's going to, you know, you?
Oh, yes, and good. Right, yes, and good. Where are you going to find someone that's going to address this? Like this, what we're doing now. Yeah, and you're right. Maybe it's difficult, but you need to find a friend, a chaver. I don't know what's going on outside. Apologize to anyone listening to the recording. The Yetzer Hara does not want us to talk about this. He's trying to do whatever he can to interrupt us.
I didn't even notice until you mentioned.
Well, okay, sorry. That's my ADD is kicking in. But you need to find somebody. You need to find a Rebbe that's willing to talk about it. Okay. If your current Rebbe is not willing to talk about it, I'm not saying he's a bad person or anything like that, but if something that's really sitting on your soul, you got to find a Rebbe that's going to talk to you about it.
Okay.
Not don't leave the first Rebbe, but like find another Rebbe that you can talk to. Therapist, if that's something that you need to. Find friends that you can talk to. It's so important. It's so important to like bring this to the daylight. And that's what he means, based menders, not a literal based menders, but to the place where you can figure out the sugya of Shmir Sabris, that you can figure out the sugya of Inyani Kedusha, where you're going to go back and forth and put on the table. And then you'll see also when you start talking about it, that the lust and compulsion starts to dissipate and it goes away.
That moment. But then the Yetzer gets stronger in a different situation and it continues.
That's why we're here. But you're right. This thing doesn't let up. We're going to talk about this. This is a war that lasts your entire life. And like any war is multiple battles. Right. And there's I'm just trying to think. Right. You know, Vietnam, there's the Hill 364, where the platoon died on the hill and was complete. Right. But then there was, the taking of Saigon, or I really need to brush up on my Vietnam history. But like there was all these different tiny battles that were like big, big, important turning points in this war. Right. And truth be told, Vietnam didn't really end. It just like stopped and no one really won and there was no win and loser. And I don't want to get into politics, but every battle, every war is like that. There's these like terrible, terrible losses and there's these wins and it just keeps going and the fight keeps going and it never ends. Unfortunately, I hate to break it to you. That's where it is. And we're going to talk about it a little later.
Yeah.
But right now, we just want to get into the meat of this. We need to talk about it. The Yoisme the zoo, he akas my Yisoydis HaYikarim, and he's going to explain why he thinks we have to talk about this. Because it's not just, oh, it's important, it's bothering people. It's like, there's a specific reason why. He offers me a share this Ayikarm from the Kudus Rebisena HaKadoshim Skuziana Galenu. This is one of the most important foundational principal points that Rebisena HaKadoshim, that they used to talk about. Umar and Admar Skuziana Galenu. And the Admar, and I looked this up. I think he's talking about himself in the third person. I think they used to do this. They would talk about it. Again, someone correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not super familiar with like these types of Lashonis and Siv Shalom. But it was said once in the Yeshiva in Baranovich, Ki Yesoides, this is the key. I underlined in my copy over here. Ki Yesoides HaYeshiva HaMemuna U'Shmiras Bris Kodesh. The Yesoid of Yeshiva, because remember, he's talking to Bacharim here, but this is really for everybody. The Yesoid of the Yeshiva is Emuna and Shmir Sabris. You would think he said a Yeshiva is going through Masechtas, is to just, cover ground before the ground covers you. And there is that there, right?
Yeah.
Right? But the source, the core, the foundation is Emuna, is strengthening your Emuna, Ushmir Sabris Kodesh. Vezu Mataras HaYeshiva, this is the goal of Yeshiva. Shilamdu ba Torah b'kedushim Torah, that you're learning your Torah there, yeah, because you are. You're learning as much Torah as you can, but you have to do it in a way that is Torah and coming from a place of Amuna and coming from a place of Shmir Sabris, right? And therefore, it's fitting to talk about this, about these issues. Ulavara Eitzes, and to come up with solutions, maybe Sfarim, according to what the Sfarim talked about. The Sfarim Binyanim Elu. The Sfarim and the Sfarim talk about the Sfarim and the people who wrote the Sfarim to talk about these issues. Right. L'chol Shekivas Hashem, for anyone who wants to come close to Hashem, Yichafetz Lilmad B'Kedusha V'Tara, and they want to learn. Everyone, we all really want this. All of us want this. We all want to learn in Kedusha and Tara. Keratzin Hashem, Keratzin Yireyev. Right? According to the will of Hashem and according to the will of those who fear Hashem. V'shchus Avetz B'Zeinu Kedush V'shchus Yagin Aleinu. Yogi and Kol HaRoitzin, right? And they may, in the schus of all of this, that we want this, because I know we want this, and every yid wants this, is that that Yogi and Kol HaRoitzin, that there should be a protection for all those who want the Roitzin Lirtzis, and also those who want to want. Because again, some of us are in a place where we're not a hundo on board with the program. And as we get it, everyone's got different paths they got to follow, different situation. But you got to want to want. Even if you're not ready, you're not holding a wanting. Maybe a little bit of wanting to want. And that we should be careful and protect ourselves from any kind of pagam in our thoughts, in our dibur, in our speech, umaisa, in our actions.
What's the British inside your client?
Zechusa yagin aleinu. That his chus should kind of come all over us, and we should get the chus, right? That the chus of the tzaddik should come on top of us. Okay. Next paragraph, Rabbi Seinu. I don't know if we have time because I kind of rambled a bit. Let's see if we can do it. Not, we'll pick it up. Rabbi Seinu, they placed the ikur point of avodas Hashem on this midah, which is that everything is based on this. Shukol aliyos ve'yiridos. Every aliyah and every yirida that happens anywhere in our life, tuluyim are dependent ach rak b'zeh on this issue of shmiras einayim, shmiras habris. That's why this midah, this is connected to the midah of yisoid. The foundation, Q Yisoid Adam. It's the foundation of a person.
Yosef in Pesidus is compared to Yisoid.
Yeah, although Yosef is gonna come up. Yosef is gonna be a recurring character on the discussion of here. But yeah, you're 100% right. EF Shitiel Adam is Alice Amitis Bavaidasa Isbarach. It is impossible. It is impossible for a person to rise truthfully by Vaidasa Yizbarach in his Avoida, or Hargoshas Noyam Kedushas Shabbos Vashar Mitzvahs, or to even feel this hit me, this gives me the chills when I read this.
Pleasantness.
When, if someone is Isaac in Pagam and Bris, he does not have the ability to feel the Noyam Kedushas Shabbos, the beauty and peace of Shabbos, Vashar Mitzvahs, and the beauty and peace of other mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael there is a fire burning through our community, and people are not feeling the connection to Hashem. And I couldn't say this myself, but it seems like what he's saying is that the reason why this is happening, where people are numb, you know, you have a few people that are against terror, right, out there today. The real stuff happened in the years past.
Yeah.
But today there's a numbness. There's just a numbness. Rav Moshe Weinberg always used to say, you could just look at a person. And I get what he's saying. You look at a person, you know they're dealing with Pagam and Bris. You can just sometimes, not everybody, but you can look at a person, they look normal, everything's fine. There's just like a vacancy. You know what I mean? And like, it's like, and again, it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the yid. The yid's there. There's a galaxy of R there. It's just, we're in the swamp and it's covered with layers of gook and muck. And I wish this for myself and for everyone who's listening. I wish that we learn to taste what Shabbos is. And someone who is stuck in this world of Pagam and Bris, like, I liken this, and this is about me and not anybody else. I feel like if I'm whatever the details are, we're not going to talk about me. But if I'm struggling in this area, I feel like I'm a boxer going into the ring with both of my hands tied behind my back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm there. I'm in there. I'm doing stuff, but I'm just like. Maybe that's not even the rum, because even that boxer with the hands tied behind his back, he's in the arena, right? I feel like someone who was like really stuck in the swamp of Pagam and Bris, like he's like doing like astral projection, where like he's just like sending his body off to do things, and he's not present. He's just not there. And you know, again, maybe it's just my experience, and I don't want to say everyone else is experiencing this, but this is the heaviness. This is the heaviness of the pain of this. And I want to talk longer about this, but I'm going to stop here. because we're almost up, I just want to share one quick story to maybe like highlight the pain of this. It's a random, silly story, maybe because I just got a little bit too dark and heavy. But I know a guy, he lives here in Chicago. He dials another shul here. And he told me that he came over from Russia. He came over from Russia and he first came to Eretz Yisrael and he was working at a kibbutz. And he was working, I don't remember which kibbutz it was, but it was where they made pickles. I don't know if it's like a kibbutz Yavne, like those pickles. I don't remember if there's like a bunch of kibbutz that make pickles, I think. Okay. He was working in a kibbutz that had a lot of pickles, that made pickles. And the way they did pickles, they had these huge vats, these huge, huge, like the size of this room. And like inside was all the vinegar and the spices and the pickles. And he was working in it, a big paddle, just like stirring stuff up. And he fell in the pickles. He fell in the pickles. And then there was like, there was a conveyor belt, the more pickles falling on top of him because it was like a process going. And he was stuck in the pickles and he was trying to get out. And then as more pickles came on him, he got pushed down into this. And for like an hour or so, they didn't know he was even in it. And then they tried, they heard him screaming, and then they started trying to get him out. And it took like a few hours. I don't remember how long exactly it was. It was like a few hours where they were finally able to get him out. So he was getting pickled alive in the pickles. It's very, very silly. But because he was in there for so long, that's why I think it was more than just a few hours. He was in there so long, he had burns all over his entire body. For 2 years, he was in pain. So however long it was very significant damage. For me, this story highlights, Baruch Hashem, he's fine now. He's got a family. He's a holy yid. But this story highlights the incredible damage. This is like an example, a mashal of the incredible damage that being Oseh B'gam HaBris, we're immersed in the swamp. But it's not swamp, it's acid swamp. And it burns our fingertips, and all we feel is just numbness and pain. Because you know when you're in so much pain, you end up going numb. Your brain shuts it down. We're so much pain because we're disconnected, like inside and outside. Like our neshamas are screaming, right? Because let's be honest, at the end of the day, all begam and bris is just screaming for closeness and intimacy with Hashem. That's all it is. It's just wildly off course. We're screaming, and that pain is so much like we have to shut it off, and we shut it off with more pekama bris, and then we become desensitized. So this is why this particular thing is why I feel so passionate about even learning about this. We have to figure out solutions, because I wish for myself and for all the yidden to be able to feel the Noyim Shabbos, feel a little bit. You know, we get those little sparks every once in a while. We get those little sparks of excitement, of feeling, of connection to Shabbos or a mitzvah, where it comes, we hear a Rebbe speak, you know, at the drusha, and we're just like, for a minute, we're like alive.
Right.
And then it's like back to the grind, back to the vat of pickles with acid burning our nerve endings away. With that, I want to open this up. Yeah, what thoughts, comments? Maybe I'm a little too dark. I don't know.
No. Someone's married and they have a happy marriage or a healthy marriage, I should say. They really shouldn't have this problem. Someone who's single or going through a divorce, it might be more difficult.
Yeah.
Especially if you experienced having a woman before.
So I'll tell you, yes and no. Yes and no. You're right. Like this is something that single guys deal with. I'm sure single women as well, but they're a little bit of a different onion. But single guys, whether they're single or they're divorced or whether they're a widower, they would deal with this. But at the same time, I think it's also possible to look at it another way, where someone who is married and isn't working out in his head how to deal with this. So it's what can happen, and this is just what I've heard from people,
right.
or not. I can either confirm or deny if I personally understand this or not. But what can very happen is like your wife gets compartmentalized. So your wife is like kosher, and then there's like the non-kosher world, and there's still a draw coming from it. And then what ends up happening is if someone is Isaac in Pagam Bris, right? So they actually start losing attraction to their wife because she's kosher, she's plain, she's regular. She's not. She's holy. She's a galaxy of Aaron. She's the kedusha of Isha that's pouring out of her, and all shefa that comes into her family comes through the Isha. But if I'm Isaac and Begam Bris, like I'm cutting that in my own head. Men are very good at doing this, of compartmentalizing everything. Like my wife is the kosher version, right? And then I need to get some of like that taboo, the mayim genuvim yim taku, right? I need to get some of the taboo stuff, because that's what's attraction. Because at the end of the day, it's about this like this insidious desire, right? And I agree with you though. It's still a problem for single guys, right? It's still a problem for single men. But at the same time, like I think that this could come up in different ways. Anyone online want to have a go? Any comments, suggestions, questions? All right. I think we're going to wrap it up now. Oh, we have a few more minutes left. Yeah, we have a few more minutes left. Let me double check because my watch is a little bit fast. We have 8 minutes left. So maybe we'll go a little bit lighter. But I wanted to make sure I got that message out. I want you guys to feel. I want to feel Kedusha Shabbos. Kamayim Tzadikim. So we're in the middle of the paragraph there.
Yeah.
Wamar Tzadikim, and like the Tzadikim, Perish Tehillim, they said on Perish Tehillim, this is a very wild parish on this pasuk that we all know. We say it in Halal every single Shkodesh, every Yontif. Einayim lahem, and this pasuk in Tehillim, Einayim lahem lo yiru. Right, we're talking about Avodah Zarah, right? That's Pashup Shad. It's talking about the stone idols that doesn't have eyes, can't see. But after we just talk about where Pagama Bris ruins our ability to sense the world, real world, the spiritual world. And I'm Lim Loyiru. They have eyes, but they can't see. And Mishtam Jimbe Nine Lam, if you're using your eyes for Pagam Bris things, you're looking at lustful things, or you're not careful about, you're not controlling it, and you're allowing yourself to get yanked in that direction. Hainu Lamalish Tavasam, you're using your eyes to fill your taiva. Az Loyiru Begatas Hashem, you can't use those same eyes to look at Hashem. It's not that you shouldn't use those same eyes. It's not a musser. It's a fact. It's a reality. When you're using your eyes for this, and then you try to go and look at Torah, it's like you have that numbness, and you can't tap in. The pasuk goes on, right? And those who have ears, they don't hear, right? Because if you're Isaac and Begam Bris, you're not going to be zeichet to hear the Dvar Hashem because you have all these layers of gunk wrapped all over you. And you're screaming because you're starving. It's like someone cut off your food supply and you're starving, but you have no way to feel what's going on outside you. Someone who is metama chas v'shalom, the boiling blood in his limbs. Arehu, because we all have boiling blood.
Yeah.
Every one of us has boiling blood. But the question is, what is it going to be boiling for?
Yeah.
Like, what's that drive? We get riled up. Someone said that thing, that political guy said that thing. I can't believe those people did. We love getting riled up. Everyone gets riled up for something.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not getting riled up,
you're dead.
You're dead. Right? But it's just, what are you getting riled up about? What are you letting your blood get boiled for? Based on the Zohar Kaddish, that when you do these averis, it becomes engraved onto your bones. Engraved onto your bones. Now, I want to make a caveat. That could sound like that if you do these averis, it goes inside and it'll ruin the essence of what a yid is. So no, it just feels that way.
Yeah. Okay.
It feels that way, but it cannot destroy your true essence. Your true essence is still there, and however much you want to rebel against the true neshama that the chelik of the kamimah that Kosh Baruch Hu gave you, it's impossible, and it's waiting, and it's there, and it's just a nuclear reactor ready to go off for Hashem.
Okay.
But it can feel like it, and that's why we think that's the whole thing with the Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra was that when he sinned. Used to be Yetzer was outside in the form of the snake, and then we brought it inside, and now we think that it's us. We think that, oh, I want to look at that, you know, I want to go look up that website. I want to go do this thing. I want to look at that, you know, person in the street and how she's dressed. And it's like, it's not you. It's not you, but you think it's you.
Yeah.
You think it's you. It's not me. I'm holy. I'm holy. I'm a shtick chatichas elikus. I'm like a piece of elikus, just like exploding through the world. But the trick is the Yitzhahara gets me to think that no, the sin is in me and I'm worthless and I'm empty and there's nothing left. Right? That even if I want to raise up, it's going to just weigh me down. It's just going to pull me down. Okay. And if I am a tar, there's blood boiling in me. Us who bifchinas, then I'm going to get to a different concept of kol atzmeisa taimana Hashem micham leicham. It's about the bones. It's about how do you feel in your bones. If you're doing it wrong, if you got your blood boiling the wrong way, you're gonna feel like the worst person in the world, and there's no hope for you. And it's not true. It's just a lie that you'll think is true. It's a lie that you'll tell yourself. It's a lie that I tell myself. And when we matar it, we get to feel kol atzmeisa taimana Hashem michamaycha. We say this in Nishmas, that we're going to feel our whole bones scream out, Hashem michamaycha. I wish this for me. I wish this for you. I wish this for anybody who's listening. Let's come up with strategies to figure this out. Sometimes we got to go deep into the jungles of Vietnam and fight our way by ourselves because all our friends are dead on the floor, right? And Charlie's hiding in the bush. It's the war we can't win, but we got to fight it. Because you know what? We get to feel this. We'll get to feel this connection. And we'll get to, it's not just about getting a feeling. It's about revealing the truth of who we are. Shkoyach. This time, same time, tomorrow.